So the first question I want to talk about is, we hear the Purim story, it's beautiful, a lot of fun things going on, a lot of subplots, big time in the Teresh, we have the taxes, we have the party. Why do we need all that? Why do we need the whole first two chapters? Oh, there was a party, they killed Vashti. So let's start the story with, there was a Haman, Per Gimel, boo, okay, that's what the kids want anyway. What do we need the first two Prakim? There was a party and there was Vashti. What's the relevance? Okay, it's a good setup, but really, what's that? Why is that critical? Another thing is the taxes. Okay, we're in taxes, and I'm an accountant here. We have to, even my accountants don't love taxes. Make sure they have the client to have need their taxes done. So we're twice in the Megillah, taxes. Hanacha l'kol amim. After Esther was chosen to be the queen, as Achashverosh said, okay, we're giving COVID benefits. We're giving tax delays for. Because of an honor of Esther. Here's the question is, and then at the end of the Megillah, it comes back at the end and says, we should know about all the Gedula Mordechai, all the great things that Mordechai happened, that happened, the Tokef, Yehudim, all the greatness, all their strength, all the wonderful things. And also, that Achashverosh levied the tax, he increased the taxes upon all the countries and the islands. Really? What do we need to know about the economy of Shushan, of Susa, 3,000. Why is that in the Megillah about the taxes two times? Is that, what's the big deal? I guess we'll start with those two questions, but really, I want to try as much as we can to pull everything in, a lot of the details that we're all familiar with, try to understand it partly Chassidu, partly Kabbalah, and not starting also. We love this to just understand a little bit deeper, on a deeper level, what's going on in the Megillah, and then what should we focus on when it comes to Purim. There's a famous Chazal, the first source there. I'm not going to read everything inside. It's fine if you go through the sources yourself. You don't see them. I'm not going to read. Some of you may read. This one I'll read because it takes me 5 seconds. It's six words. Hama min ha-Torah. Where's Hama in the Torah? Hamina Eitz. Okay, the story in Bereshit. Adam and Chava are going in Gan Eden. They see all the beautiful trees. And Hashem says, Chava, Nechman. She saw the tree. Nechman, Le'inayim is beautiful. How could I turn it down? She takes from the tree. She eats. That it started death, brought death into the world. First sin, and she gave it to Adam. Adam also, and Hashem comes to Adam and says, "Hamina eats. Asher Amar, did you eat from that one tree I told you not to eat?" Says the word Haman. Hey, man, no, same letter. That's Haman. What's the connection here between Haman and that tree? I'm just saying, nice drush. Nice. This is a cute. If you haven't heard this, it's a good one. You can say it in Purim Sudah. It's easy, simple. Roshon Shadron, the Maggid of Yerushalayim, says this is the pshat. What's the connection? The connection is this. Haman, he had all the power he could have wanted. He had the king's royal seal. He had all the wealth. He had wives. He had kids. He was basically second in command. Viceroy, everybody was bowing down to him. There's one guy in the whole empire who doesn't bow down to him. It's everything he wants, except this one guy. And he says, Kol zeh, a man who shovels, it's worth nothing. It's garbage, nothing. And the same thing, where does Midah of not having any appreciation of any good. I'm not being able to see this. We talk about half full, half empty. He had no optimism. He couldn't even see. It was 99.9% full. He still looked at it as empty. Where did Haman get this from? Hamina eats. Adam, when he had the whole garden to eat from, they could have looked at everything. They could have taken whatever they wanted. And they would have lived forever. And yet, Hamina ate from that one tree I told you not to take. Achalta, you took. That was Haman's midah at the best. He looked at the cup that was 99.9 full and said, "Enenu shavu is nothing." That's the first drush, as everybody says, very nice. On a deeper level, we're going to try to connect. What is Haman doing in connected to Gan Eden? We take a step back. The Sfarim meant the second source. I'm not going to go through. He says a very deep lesson. There are two trees in Gan Eden. We have Eitz HaChayim, Eitz HaDaas. Why did Chazal say, okay, there's going to be one tree that we're going to connect Haman to? He gets hung on a tree. There are a lot of other connections with Haman, trees, whatever, and the man that falls. We'll talk about other things. But there are two trees in Gan Eden, and they're important. It's a dot, Tovara, the tree that just tell us what's good and what's bad. And that's where Haman is, that's what we see Haman is connected to. Did you eat from that tree? Haman ate. But there's another tree. There's Eitz HaChayim. There was a tree of life. And then Hashem said, Adam and Chava just ate, they sinned. You got to get banished. Vayigresh Hashem sent them out. And he set up Kruvim, these angels with fiery swords. You guys can never come back. There's a famous Rav Hirsch, Chasru. Hashem's saving it for us. Hashem didn't close off the gates to Gan Eden. We should never get back. He's saving the Kruvim to show us the light to get back to there. Either way, that's the Eitz HaChayim that we didn't eat from. We couldn't eat from. but we want to reach that level of Eitz HaChaim. What's Haman connected to this one, this tree over that tree? Is there any significance here? Says the Son of Man, there's an Arizal. Arizal that, I don't put on the sources here, it's in Shara Kavanah, Drush Aleph, Purim. Not holding at all, he talks about, well, I'll say his question. Why does the Purim story happen? We talk about Haman and Atara comes back from Gan Eden. We're going to talk about a lot of other connections. We'll talk about many other things. Rivka and Eliezer and Esav, Yaakov. What's coming out 3,000 years later? Because there was one time a hint in Gan Eden, so it comes out 3,000. If Hashem wanted to bring a Haman upon us, so bring it, I don't know, a generation or two later, right then. What was Hashem waiting 3,000 years in store? Hashem's saving Haman for us because of the Eitz HaDaat. What happened then? So the Arizal's Iker point, he says there was a tremendous kitrug, attack, a question, a challenge on our mission as Jews that happened between Yaakov, the face-off between Yaakov and Esav. The basic way to look at it is like this. This part is from a Raman source, so I'm going to try. Some things I have in sources, and some things I don't, but some things I got straight from a Raman source. And after looking up all the sources, you'll see exactly where he got this stuff from. There was a Midrash Tanit Ve'Eliyahu that says, Mechrak Hayom, please sell to me like the day the Bechorah. The Esav came running in from the forest. He's exhausted. He's hungry. He sees his homentash. He wants me, Adom, Adom, give me the red junk, the red lentils, give me the stuff. And put it down my throat. So Yaakov says, okay, let's make a deal here. A good Jew, he knows how to try to bargain a little. So he gets Esav to give him the Bechorah. And he says, Mechra Kayom. He says, sell to me like the day. Why don't you say, Mechra Hayom? What's Mechra Kayom? Sell to me like the day. What day? Says Tanna B'Eliyahu. In utero, there was an argument with Esav and Yaakov. We're the two brothers. We're going to, Shnei Goyim B'Benech. Rivka was going to proceed, was going to conquer the world. Okay, but the question is, who's going to take what? So they're fighting it out. Esav and Yaakov are fighting. Who's going to take what? So they made a deal. They struck a deal. Yaakov says, I'm going to take Olam Haba, the spiritual stuff in this world, and Olam Haba, the next world. And Yaakov says, oh, I'm going to take, and Esav, I get this world. I get the Olam Hazeh. Let's make our kayom. So Yaakov says, you want Adom Adom, you want the food? Fadal, take it right away. Here's the food. You go right ahead. The Mechra Kayom, sell me the Bechorah. The Bechorah is connected to Avodah, connected to the Mishkan, the Beit HaMikdash, connected to spiritual things. Give me that. Mechra Kayom, just like the day. That day, you made a deal with me. So follow through on your deal. Very nice. Says Ari, there was a problem several times in history, but it started with Yaakov. When Yaakov is a little bit too in touch, when he was focused too much on the Gashmiut, stop me if I'm not clear. I want questions. I'm going to try to bring out the lessons after, to make it clear, but the connections, if you get nothing, we should see how the tremendous gadlut of Ar Chachamim, they see in every single word and letter, everything is connected, everything has depth. So it says, Ari, what happened when Yaakov focused too much on Gashmiut, Yaakov, the Tsar of Esav attacks him. He says, there's a red alert, something's going wrong here, you made a deal with me, this can't happen. So what happened? Yaakov is coming back from Laban's house with all his entourage of flock, children, wives, and he's about to meet off with Esav, and the Sar Esav says, "Vayelin b'leilahu." He saw that he was sleeping there alone by night. On the second page, I have a Sifte Kohen on the parasha. It's not the Shach. People call it the Shachalter. It's one of the from the later Gurei Ari. It's generations later. Reb Mordechai HaKohen of Sfat, 1700s, before the Chida Kote. He's a tremendous Mikubal Chumash, great Pshatim, based on Torah Avdari. He says, if you look at the Sofei Tovot, the last letters is Haman, Vayelin, Sham Balayla. Okay, nice, cute. Okay, with the same letters, Haman or Pir. What's Haman doing with Yaakov sleeping and slipping over the river, trying to get the Midrash, Pachim Ketanim, getting the little jugs? What's Haman doing over there? Why do we see the Sofei Tovot over there? Okay, there's a Midrash. I didn't quote it, but he sort of references it. The Midrash, it says, Balayla, he slept, Ba'ilim Cham Balayla, he slept that night. I think the next word is Hahu, but whatever, I forget exactly the word. They connect this Layla to Balayla Hu, Ve'nashanat HaMelech. Just like Yaakov was not able to sleep because the Sar Shel Esav kept him up, so too, Yachashverosh, in the times of Haman, was not able to sleep. He was paranoid, worried about what was going on with Esther and Haman, couldn't sleep. So because Yaakov is not able to sleep, so too Haman, because of Esav, so too Achashverosh is not able to sleep because of Haman. Okay, if I'm getting confused with the names, I'm going to try and make it so it's not so confusing. But the question is, why is there any hints to Haman, the Purim story, with Yaakov and Esav? What's going on over here? So the Ari's basic point is this. when the Sarer of Esav, the angel behind Esav, saw that Yaakov was running after Gashmiut, he was trying to amass a tremendous flock, and he forgot a tiny little can of soda, and he's going back over the river just for a can of soda. Who cares? He says, everything cares about Gashmiut. That's mine. He's intruding on my territory. So he comes and attacks him. That's the basic face-off. And then the next day, because of this, so now Yaakov's basic, his tikkun, and we're going to see it, not just then, but he has to make a tikkun. He has to fix. What is the problem? How do we approach Gashmiut? The approach of Gashmiut of Yaakov is, he says, Yishli Kol. He looks at everything in the Gashmiut only as a tool for the Ruchniut. He is satisfied. Not like Hamina Eitz, Haman. He looks at the 99% full jug as empty. What happens the next morning? Next morning, Yaakov wins the strength of Torah. We'll talk about it in a moment. But he wins over the Tsar of Esav, and he faces Esav. But he wants to flatter him. So it says he bowed several times in front of his brother. The Midrash bowed seven times. What's the bowing seven times? And says the Midrash, because he bowed seven times. Haman into Esav. Haman, who comes from Esav. Esav was the grandfather of Amalek. Haman is Haman Agagi. So very good. Because of Yaakov's bowing to Esav, which was too much flattery. He shouldn't have been bowing. Was he bowing down to Esav HaRasha? Since he bowed to him, Hashem says, I'm going to make sure that your descendant, Mordechai, is going to be stuck with your children are going to have to bow down to Haman. And we're going to see if there'll be a Sadiq, like Mordechai, will be able to stand up and not bow and do the proper tikkun. So the Ari looks at these midrashim and he says, the basic idea that we see over here is there is a Gilgul or a tikkun that's happening. That Mordechai is like a Gilgul of Yaakov. He's fixing that which happened many years before that was thrown off and messed up in the days of Yaakov and Esav. They were fixing that in the times of Mordechai. That's why it's happening. Why is it happening 3,000 years later? Because he says that's at the time when the Galut already happened. The messing, the different midot in Shemayim are a little bit in chaos. Everything's a little bit messed up, and we have to realign the different midot in Sfirot and Kabbalah at the time of the Gula. When we bring the next Beit HaMikdash, we're sad when we know that there was no Beit HaMikdash in the times of the Megillah, and Mordechai was in Galut. We're bringing the Gula. Now we have to get everything in order. So that says the Ari. That's why Hashem planted Mordechai at that time to try to fix these sort of things. So there's a beautiful gematria. This is from the Hafla. The Rabbi Horowitz, the Rabbi Pinchas Horowitz, in the end of the 700s going to the 1800s, he was basically Hasidish, the Talmud of the Baal Shem, Baal Shem Tov, and he was the rabbi of a very yucky Ashkenazi community of Frankfurt. How did he get that job? Because there was a cleaver get, there was a big fight over a get in the end of the 1700s. Everybody had an opinion. And the rabbi of the town, he said it was a kosher get. The guy went a little bit, he went psychotic, and he was not going to be married to his wife, so he sent him a get. And the problem is you can't have a get if the guy is off the wall. Okay, so it's a little bit of a problem. So I had asked all the gedolim over the whole world. Everybody gave different opinions. And because of that, the town of Frankfurt was very unhappy because their Beit Din thought it was kosher. They were involved a little bit in this. They said, next rabbi we're picking, we're not picking anybody who took an opinion against him. So basically all the Gerulim, the Nitivo, the Chasim, so anybody who was on the list anti the Frankfurt Beit Din, they were kicked off the board. They couldn't apply for the job. Their application was rejected. The Afla, he was a Hasid. He took no opinion on the matter. He didn't say any halachic decision on this. He became a rabbi of the Hasidim of Frankfurt, a Yaki community. It didn't last forever, but it was way before it reversed. It was in the beginning of 1800s, 1810, whatever, 1805, 1810. Ruchav Sofer returns back. Ruchav Sofer grew up in Frankfurt. The reverse is going to be 1815, whatever. He's going to return back there. The regular Ashkenazi Menagi in Frankfurt. Anyway, so Aflas is a beautiful drasha. He says, we know about the story Yaakov and Esav a little bit before and after we talked about before, when Esav is facing off with Yaakov and says, I want the bracha, I want that bachor, I want the first bracha of my father. And Yitzchak saw some good in Esav. Kisayed befib. The Zohar says it, is he trapped some spirituality in his head. There was something trapped in the mouth of Esav. He had some good into him. There was something good to him. Yitzchak saw that good, and he wanted to give him bracha for that. So he's going to give him the first bracha. Yaakov comes, and he steals that bracha. And Esav says, "Avi, you have one bracha. What, how can that be? Dad, give me a bracha." says Nafla, what does that mean? And Yitzchak says, you're right, I can't really give you a bracha, have a gevir, achich, I already made your brother greater than you, and now I can't give you anything. Why couldn't you give him anything? Says Nafla, Q gematria. He says this. Yitzchak's name, gematria, yud, sadly, this is the box I have in the middle there. Nafla, I have the mak, oh, sorry, makna is the same as the hafla. It's just a safer on kedushin. Hafla on ketubot says the hafla gematria. Yeah, Yitzchak's name is 8 times Yudkei Vavkei. Yudkei Vavkei, Hashem's name, is 26. Okay, 8 times 26, 208, Yitzchak. That gematria I know because it's my name, Yitzchak. 208. And why is that connected to Yitzchak? Very good, because he is Lamala Menateva. His brit was on the 8th day. So he was given a name that fits perfectly with 8. So he has 8 Yudkei Vavkei, 8 Havayot in name Yitzchak. Now he's able to give over this. He gave over the brit bracha that he was given from Abraham to his children. So he was thinking, maybe I'm going to give the first bracha to Esav. It's switched. A little bit nahafochu. He gives it to Yaakov. And what does he give to Yaakov? The gematria of Yaakov is 182. You can see the chart. You can figure out the math very easy. We're not in college right now. 182. 7 times 7. He gave him 7 brachot. If you count each of the brachot, you break them up. There's 7 brachot in the bracha that Yitzchak gave to Yaakov. Have a gevir la'achicha is the 7th. Is the top one. He gave him 7 brachot because he gave him 7 havayot of his name built into, of Yitzchak's name built into Yaakov's name. He has a tremendous amount of spirituality built into him. Not everything, but he had a tremendous amount built into him. And so when he says, a bracha achad, Avi, Dad, you have no other brachot. The answer is, I already gave over my special brachot. You want a bracha? I'll give you some Kashmir. I'll give you some other bracha. You want the brachot of the Shem Havaya to be connected to the spiritual world, to be... There's Ben Ishchai, it's beautiful about the different, these Gematriot, the different take. He says that Yaakov was able to control all the spiritual things of the world. So he had to be 7 Havayot. For each of the 7 days of creation, he can control. You have a Sadiq goes there, Hashem Akayim, so he can control all of nature. Yitzchak was Lamal Ben Tevin, 8 Havayot. Yitzchak was 7 Havayot. He has there's more Gematriot in the Ben Ishchai on Parshat Vayechi, says the Hafla, so Yaakov knows this. He knows that I have 7, my brother must have 1. Because Yaakov, my father, Yitzchak had 8, he gave 7 to Yaakov and then she would leave. So how did 1 appear in Esav? Where's 1 in Esav? Said the following. He said he had 7 levels of Tumah. Just compared to the 7 levels of nature of this world, he had 7 of Kedusha Yaakov had, so Esav had 7 of Tameh. Tameh, Teh, Mem, Aleph, 50. 50 times 7, 350, plus 1 Havaya, 126, 376 Esav, the Gematria of Esav, is the Tamei 7 times, plus 1 Havaya, 1 time of Hashem's name. So says Hafla, when Yaakov bowed 7 times, he also knew that there was a spiritual component to his brother. He wanted to draw it out of him. He wanted to say, look, we could work together here. I have 1 7 Havaya, you have 1 Havaya, my father. But he was bowing every time to remove the Tumah from him. It says, until he reached his brother. He kept bowing and bowing, every time removing a 50, until Achiv, brought him down to Achiv. Achiv is Gematria Havaya with the Kolel. Because he knocked him down from the 376 from Esav, down, to Achiv. He saw the Achiv in him, he saw the Havaya. There was one level of Kedusha, the side of Achiv, that's why his head is buried in the Maracham. He saw that in him, he was trying to draw it out of him. He had good intention. The Midrash faults him because he had too much flattery the way it was outwardly seen. But intentionally, he was trying to draw Esav in. That's what the Nitzot, Kedusha, inside of Esav, Yaakov was trying to draw out. That's the Gematriot of the Hafla. Now, just try to put this together. I tried to drop the bomb, trying to explain what's the connection. So now we're going to go through the story of the Purim, try to explain it, make it practical. How do we do it? What's our avodah? And then, if I have more time, I'll try to add a more gematria and more connections to other stories with Kai Eliezer and Binyamin and a few other midrashim. But if I don't get to the main ideas like this, just we talked about, as Sfarim says, there's 2 trees in Gan Eden, and Haman's connected to the 8th Hadad because Tov HaRa, the Gashmiut, Esav is also connected to that. Haman comes from Esav. So when there's 2 sins of the Jewish people that happened in the story of Purim. Also connected to these 2 trees and these 2 tikkunim we're going to have to work on. One is Gashmiut and one is connected to Avodah Zarah, going against the Torah. The things that are connected to Gashmiut, physicality, I'll try to make it so we're not we're doing whatever discrete distribution. We're not doing hard mathematics here. We're going to try to make it straight, clear. Rashbi asked this with this source. We're going to put it together. Rashi Marachai comes to his students in Megillah Daf Yud Bet Amud Bet. This is in the sources on the second page in the middle. He said, why were the Jewish people supposed to be destroyed in the days of Purim? What did they do wrong? What was so bad? There's always a Jewish midah to think. Hashem is giving us signs throughout life. We have to be open and keep our eyes aware of what's going on. Amr Lahem, Amru Atem. He says, as a good teacher, you guys tell me the answer. They ask the question. He says, oh, good. Answer a question with a question. You guys figure it out. So he says, Amru Lo. They said, oh, maybe. Menesha Nanum. He says, Josha Otarasha. They ate from the meal of Achashverosh, from that feast. So says Rashbi, that can't be true. And Gain Shushan Yehargu. They should be killed only in Shushan, but not the rest of the world. So it was a trick question. He gave he set up. He said, answer you guys, and then they gave an answer, and he doesn't say, oh, Chazak Baruch, nice answer. He gives it to them. He says, no, your answer's wrong. He says, I'll tell you. Amrulo, Amorata, so the student said, come on, tell us the answer then. Because they bowed to the idol. Now, which idol is the Machlok and the Parshim? Most of the Parshim say it doesn't mean Haman, even though maybe he was Avodah Zarah, he was wearing Avodah Zarah. Because again, who's bowing down to Haman? Basically in Shushan, in that area. The gates of the Birat HaMelech, the palace where it was. So assuming the Salem is Nebuchadnezzar. So again, the question is going to be, okay, in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, in the days of the Galut, Nebuchadnezzar the king from Babel came and destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. And he told everybody to bow. Everybody decides, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah bowed. Daniel ran away. So everybody, all the Jews were bowing except for three in the Nevi'im, three Tzaddikim. And because of that, Hashem is going to punish us. Hashem should have punished us then. Why is Hashem waiting 70 years to punish us now? And also, the Gemara has a beautiful phrase, I don't understand. If Hashem thought we deserved to be destroyed, so why weren't we destroyed? They did it externally. They didn't really want to serve Avodah Zarah. Every Jewish neshama goes back to our avot. We have the Seirah Nefesh. We believe in everything. We see this today very much. All the non-religious, someone who's Jewish, religious, not religious, everybody has a tremendous spark of Kedusha inside of them, and they're able to connect back to it. So the fact that someone did Avodah Zarah doesn't mean that they're not Jewish. It means they're Jewish. They have that spark. It just needs to be reawoken, brought back to life. So says Rashbi, they only did externally Avodah Zarah. Hashem only pretended to try to kill them. That was with Haman. Hashem said the Gezerah, they were afraid, they were mortified, and Baruch Hashem, they were saved. So the questions are, what is this? Did Rashbi think they were totally wrong? And if he totally thought they were wrong, he had a question, why did it only happen in Shushan? Then why do you say Ella? Why do you say they were wrong? Why do you say Radu? Okay, so if you do keep. So it says the Sfarim Amen, we have two sins, and there are two sins. One is about Gashmiut, but that itself would not have been enough a reason to destroy them. But they have a Avodah Zarah sin that was hanging over their heads that should have been a reason to destroy them. But the sin of Avodah Zarah wasn't going to destroy them alone. Hashem wasn't going to destroy them for Avodah Zarah alone. For example, in the days of Achav, they did tremendous Avodah Zarah. Hashem didn't destroy them. The great Meshach Chachma with Klal Yisrael together, Hashem's not going to destroy us. Here too, Hashem didn't see other reasons to destroy us because of Avodah Zarah. Salim in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, we bowed to Avodah Zarah. Hashem said, okay, I'll look past that for now. But once we had another Kitzurug, we were eating from the Gesudah of Achashverosh. We were partying over the destruction of Beit HaMikdash for being 70 years. Hashem says, you're eating from the Gashmiut and you know Emunah, you don't have any trust that I'm going to bring back that Achash, I'm going to bring back the Beit HaMikdash. For that now, Hashem brings back, challenges the fact that Hashem had any rachamim, any mercy with the Salem. Hashem said, you sinned with the Salem, you bowed down to Avodah Zarah, and you're eating from the Asura Achashverosh. Together, those two sins, at this time now Hashem's ready to destroy us. So says the Sfarimet. There's two sins. One is Gashmiut, we ate from the Suda Achashverosh. Another sin is we bow down to Avodah Zarah. Those are connected to the two trees. And one tree is about Gashmiut. Etada, Nechmal Einayim, the Echava Edrim, because it looked beautiful. And the other tree was Ezechayim. It was a tree that we need to attack and we need to reach it. We never reached it yet, or not in a very complete way, which is the Ezechayim is the tree of life. It's the tree of Torah. Ki Ezechayim, hi lemachasikimba. The tree of Torah. And we have both of them together. That's the ultimate tikkun. That's going to bring the geula. So Mordechai had the tikkun of Avodah Zarah and that's how he saved the Jewish people, because of his lechud. He didn't bow to Haman. That's one beautiful midah he was able. And also, in terms of Gashmiut, so one way to say that if he was rectifying the Gashmiut is because Svanim says he didn't eat for 3 days, so they abstained for Gashmiut. Okay, that's a good reason. A different way to say it is he was giving Gashmiut in the proper way, just like Yaakov. It's okay for a Jew to have physicality. It has to be used in the proper way. And that's why Mordechai was given tremendous gedulah. The Chidah says, why did we need the whole big-time Vaterish story? And then Achashverosh is up at night, and who can I reward? I want to give the reward to Mordechai. It's a very ironic story. If you read it really in order, read it carefully, what happens with Mordechai, Haman is taking Mordechai parading around the streets, and you'd think the Jews are celebrating, wow, this is awesome, incredible, our leader Mordechai is being paraded. They're crying. They're sad. There's nevocha. After that story, it's not a tremendous joy. Why? Because the Jewish decree to be killed was still in place. Nothing changed. And Mordechai was still the enemy of Haman. Haman is still the viceroy. Haman could still... Okay, he didn't get to kill him that morning. Zereshed, you should get that order from Achashverosh to get the permission, the license, you can kill Mordechai in the morning. It didn't work out, so you're going to have to delay. So, okay, by next week, I'll get the royal stamp, and I'll be able to take care of Mordechai. Mordechai was really smiling. He still his death sentence is going to come in another few days. So what do we say? What's this whole story? There's a Yaros Dvash, a different pshat we're not going to get to. The reason the Maharal says, you know why that story is very important? And the end of the story, we have to hear about the Gedulah Mordechai and the mass and the taxes. What do we care about taxes? Two taxes. Taxes. What's the big deal in the Mordechai story? Says the Maharal, no, the Gedulah that was given to Mordechai is very important, crucial, important. That a Jew could be given greatness, to be like the viceroy of the king, and still reflect Hashem's midot, Hashem's avoda, to use the midot. Amir Hashem, everybody, we go into this world. We don't live in the desert. We don't live in the caves. We have an opportunity mekadesh l'chol to infuse this world with kedusha. We go into jobs. And it's a tremendous opportunity to mitakein and bring a kedusha Hashem to infuse the world with holiness by showing proper respect, derech eretz, midot. And that's what Mordechai brought. And because of that, that's why he was given gedulah. And it was important that he was given gedulah. He rode around the streets, even though it was very temporary and external. They rode around the streets. But that miracle was just enough to show the Jewish people they should not despair. There's a famous midrash. Incredible. It's too good to say, but just know this is a side point. So don't get confused. I'm going to come back. We'll summarize it more clearly. Beautiful midrash. It says, the message that Esther sent to Mordechai is, go tell me what's going on. What's going on with this and this? Well, the midrash says, why does it mean this and this? Just say mizeh. So Hatach sent a message exactly to Mordechai, mizeh. So says the midrash, there was something else in Chumash that's mizeh. Luchot, Ketuvim, mizeh. I forget exactly. But zeh is written on two sides. You can see the Luchot on the Moshe Broad on two sides. Says the Midrash, Esther was asking Mordechai, are the Jewish people still believing in the Luchot? Do they believe in the Luchot? Do they keep in the Aseret HaDibrot? If they keep the Aseret HaDibrot, then we have a chance. Now let's pray. Ephraim asks, Mordechai and Esther really thought maybe the Jews weren't keeping the Aseret HaDibrot. How low did we sink? Answer is, we sink really, really, really low. Because we're in the Galut, there's no Beit HaMikdash, Achashverosh is partying, now we're just, Beit HaMikdash is never going to be rebuilt, and Hamas is setting up a decree that we should be totally destroyed. What luchod? What Debbie wrote? You might keep Chazak Baruch Shalom Alechem. I'm gone. So the Jewish people, we didn't believe in luchod. That's how far we fell. And because of that, the Rambam finished off all Chachol Megillah. The Ikar Mitzvah of the day is Matan Levinim, giving to the poor. Why is giving to the poor better than Mishloach Manon? It's very important to have friends to give to our friends. It's true. Simcha of the day. But why Matan Levinim more? Is it because you're like Hashem? If you give Matan Levinim, you're like Hashem. Hashem revives the dead, and he gladdens the downtrodden. So too, when you give tzedakah, you make the person happy. Says the Rebbe friend, okay, that's a nice word, nice idea, but tzedakah, you make the person alive. What does that have to do with Purim? You're like Hashem. No, he says, exactly, that's the story. The whole story is, we're almost dead. Spiritually, there was nothing left to us. We're totally despaired. We didn't have Yeyush. We didn't believe in the Luchot anymore. And Hashem revived us. Hashem gave us the confidence just to see Mordechai having Gedulah. Now, that Gedulah continued to grow and grow until he was the viceroy of the entire empire. And because of that, Hashem did for us, Hashem revived our spirits. Hashem gave us that which we could do. We have to give to the Ani. We have to revive his spirit. Ani chashuv kameh. Rav Chaim Shmuel, he can't give, so he's like, he's dead. We can give to him, so he comes alive again. We're then like Hashem. That's the side point about what we need to know about Matzah of the Onim and how low the Jewish people sink. In terms of the two tikkunim of the story of Purim, it goes like this. The two sayings where we had Gashmi, we ate from the Suda Shal HaChashverosh. And we sinned by bowing to the Salem, probably Nebuchadnezzar's Salem, but it was only Kitrug at the time of Purim. And Mordechai fixed both. One, by working on not bowing to Haman, fixing the seven bowings of Yaakov by not bowing to Haman, the descendant of Esav, as well as fixing the way we look at Gashmiut, using Gedulah only to inspire, only to do the proper thing. So what's the taxes? Maharal says, just a cute thing, but just when there was chaos in Shushan, when Achashverosh was worried that his kingdom was paranoid, he was worried that his kingdom was going to be crushed, people were going to rebel against him, and Esther, he just took on a new queen, he made Anachalamim, he decreased the taxes. Yes, he wanted people to buy in favor. He wanted people to like him. Got rid of Vashti, now he needs new friends. Once he had Mordechai on his team, the Gedulah Mordechai is associated with the taxes in the third and second to last Pasuk. Why? Because once he had Mordechai, the Gedulah Mordechai, so he can levy the taxes, increase the taxes. Why? Because he knew that people feared Mordechai. They had respect for Mordechai. They had awe for Mordechai. And if Mordechai is supporting him, he doesn't need anybody else. Increase all the taxes. Who cares? So this is Marah. This is just a reflection. Why is it telling us about taxes? It just reflects. It's not because we care about Achashverosh's bank account. It's because we care about Mordechai's Gedulah. That's why in the Pasuk, it says it that way, the connection between the two. Okay? Any questions? Until now, I'll try to add a few more. Vor and other connections, other places. Any questions? Anything I could try to clarify. If it was totally out there, I'll try to make it, try to set it straight. Any questions? Okay, so think. While you're thinking, one mitzvah we do during Purim is Zecher Machan Shekel. It's to remember that we give to the Mishkan. It's in the this is the Shin of a Rebbe. He says a beautiful connection. Haman gave 10, this is from Rashi, 10,000 gold coin, silver coins to Achashverosh. Achashverosh says, you're going to wipe out the Jews. I can't let you do that. It's terrible for my taxes. It's bad for the economy. And many of the Jewish people, many times we were sent into Galut in Germany in different times, in the 1600s, 1700s, we weren't just because of the wealth, just because Jews were helping out the economy. Now, the Jews were in Achashverosh's town. He says, I'm not going to get rid of them because they're going to help out the economy. Haman says, don't worry about the economy. I'll bribe you. I'll pay you the 10,000 silver coins, and you have nothing to worry about. Says the Megillah, the Gemara, Kvar Kidmu Shikali, the Shikle Haman, my Shkalim of the Bnei Israel already beat you out. We came before you. We figured it out. And it's exactly the same 10,000 silver coins. That's the Machsi Shekel. Says the Shin of Rebbe. He says, how many times, now, the same Machsi, half of a Shekel, is hinted to in the Megillah. How many times do we give Machsi Shekel? We have 9 grams. Why 9 grams? Because it says, Rashi says, Truma, donation of the Shkalim, 3 times. Truma, 3 times, and Parsha Kitzisa, Parsha Shkalim, 3 times. 3 half shekels, because 3 times in Truma. How many times we hear about Ad Chatzi HaMachut, says Achashverosh to Esther, you want to ask for something? Ad Chatzi HaMachut, I'll give you up to half the country. How many times? 3. By the two Sudod, and then right after, in the middle of Sudod, 3 times. 3 times? Can I do the 3? And Ad Chatzi, half the Malchut, can I do the 3? Machzir Shekel. Okay, that's a cute half. What's the Ikar? Rashi says, Chatzi Malchut. What did Achashverosh say? I'll give you half. Half the Malchut. Give her a little, give her all. What's the half? He says, half means the midpoint. The midpoint, the Ikar of his Malchut, was the Beit HaMikdash. I'll give you everything besides the Beit HaMikdash. You want anything? I'm happy to give it to you. Not the Beit HaMikdash. I can't touch that. Achashverosh stood for the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. He couldn't touch the Beit HaMikdash. He wouldn't allow that. His language to Esther changes after Haman dies. The next time she has a request for him to rewrite the letters, he never says, Achatzei Malchut. He says, Ma bakashateh, ma shelateh, what do you ask? I'll give you whatever you want, including the Beit HaMikdash. Why? He was no longer under the influence of Haman's Shkalim. Jewish people want to bring Shkalim to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. Chazak HaBaruch. That's our, the power of our Shkalim came before the Shekel of Haman. Haman's Shkalim won over the influence Achashverosh. So he said, only Achatzi HaMachut Esther, I won't give you that. No more. So to remember that when we bring our Achatzi Shekalim, we're contributing to the Mishkan, contributing to many parts of the Beit HaMikdash HaAmunah, that the possibility that we're going to be all together, we're going to have a final tikkun with the Mishkan, bring Hashem Shekhinah back. What was the one, I'll end with maybe one or two, one more. Beautiful idea. When Yaakov stole the bracha from Esav. Esav walks in. He says, "Dad, I only have one bracha." It says, "Vayzak zaka marav gedolah." I have this on the source sheets on the top of second side. There, he screamed out a terrible, bitter cry. "Dad, you stole my whole bracha, Yaakov. Hachi yikara Yaakov shekveni. That's why we call his name Yaakov, because he's a trickster. He stole my bracha. Dad, how'd you do this?" Says the Midrash, the same three words, zaka gedolah marav, appears in Megillat Esther. Exactly, when the Jews hear the decree that Haman said, "We're going to destroy all the Jews," it says Mordechai was sitting with Shar Melech, and Vayikra Begadav, he tore Kriya. Midrash says that Kriya is connected to Binyamin's Kriya. We'll talk maybe a different night. Says the Midrash, it says the Pasuk, Vayzakah, Vayzak, Zakah, Marah, Vidullah. Same three words. So the Midrash was a punishment. Just like Yaakov caused Esav to cry, a terrible bitter cry, Hashem said his descendants, Esav's descendants, Haman, is going to make the Jews have a terrible bitter cry in the days of Mordechai. He's going to buy. Wait a minute, Ribono Shalom. I don't understand. What did Yaakov do wrong? His mother told him. Nebuch, innocent. He did exactly what he was supposed to. He was taking the brachai. He bought the bochara already. It was double take. How did this happen that he's being punished now? His descendants are going to suffer the same destiny that he caused somebody else. He was only doing what he was supposed to be doing. How could it call? You understand the answer? So, I think the Ikar answer here is, it's a natural, we don't mean a punishment. Chazal, when they say the Midrash, what they mean is, there was a certain amount, there was a close level of a kitrug, something that, a challenge that happened to the Jewish people when Yaakov took the bracha from Esav. It was the right thing, from the Rivka. But because of that, there was no geulah. There was not shalom, not between the two sons of Rivka. The Jews and the sons of Rivka should have been shleimut, should have had shalom, should have been brought the geulah together. They say that didn't happen. Hashem says, you're going to see that in a different time. When there's not going to be shleimut, it needs to be fixed. But that same pain of having galut, of having things that are not correct, having things that are split and broken and tragic and painful, we're going to see that again. A nice story. My chavruta, one in Riverdale, told me he once was in Lakewood at a shiva. There was a young Kolel, younger light, a person in Kolel who passed away young. He was suffering from cancer and he passed away. At the shiva, his chavruta told the wife of the Kolel man, the person who died young, told him, "I heard a Dvar Torah from your husband about the Purim story. It says in these two psukim, Mordechai screamed out a terrible bitter cry, just like Esav cried that same bitter cry." But he says there's two different words. The Midrash doesn't make this point, but there's two words in the pasuk that are not the same. It says by Esav zakah gedolah marah ad meod, a really, really bitter one, so much, as opposed to by Mordechai, he cried out, but what's the difference? This young guy that he said, the one that passed away, he said, you know what the explanation is? Every Jew has a munah. At the end of the day, as terrible as the pain that we feel in the galut, the terrible pain that we tragically feel, for every soldier, anything that's going on with Jewish people, we feel it. We have empathy. We feel the zakah marah gudullah. We have to feel for this. But it's not a munah. We remember at the end of the day, there is a hope. There is a munah. We have a reason why Hashem makes everything the way it is. So even though it's true, zakah marah gudullah, but he knew there was going to be a light at the end of the tunnel. So as much as he was mourning, he knew that it wasn't going to be adma'od. It wasn't the same way that Esav did it. That's the Ikarim here. The cute addition, then I'll summarize the gifts that Esav, that Yaakov gave to Esav. The Or HaChaim says were 580 animals. Count them up, the gemalim. It doesn't say in the pasuk, you have to look at Rashi. 30 gemalim, male and female, 580. It says gematria Or HaChaim, tokef. Tokef, the pasuk I didn't put, but the tokef Mordechai. One of the places it says the Mordechai's power was used with the expression tough, cool, okay? 580 gematria. Connected to, just like Yaakov used Gashmiut in the correct way, so Mordechai is also given the Gashmiut to be used in the right way. So these are the basic ideas of the Esther story, that we have the two trees, the Eitz Hadat, Eitz HaChaim, and because the Suda Shal HaShverish is connected to Eitz Hadat, the tree, the Gashmiut tree, Haman's connected to Hamina Eitz, we have to fix it using Gashmiut in the right way, and just like the Eitz HaChaim connected to Torah, Yaakov, so too we have to be fixing. That's what we do on Purim. Two things, says the Sfarim. That's why it says Niskarim and Asim. Purim is greater than Yom Kippur, says the Ari. Why? It's like Purim. Because it says, on Purim, we're focused only on Eitz HaChaim, only on our voice. We learn and we daven, that's it. When it comes to Purim, we use both our mouth. We use both the mouth for Itza Chaim and Itza Da. We use our mouth to eat and drink, but for the right things. And that's what we do. We have the costumes to represent the dressing up, the changing, and we have to, the drinking is also representing removing it. That's in this Karim, Vina'asim. He says these are two pipes inside a person's body. The Eitz HaChaim is referred to the windpipe. It's white on the inside and the outside for the anatomy. And the tree and the esophagus, the food, that's Eitz HaChaim, that's Eitz HaDa'at, that's the food, the Gashmir, that's the Esav. That's white on the inside and red on the outside. That's for Esav. Side of the feed, but nothing more. So you have to remember this Karim, Nasim, and Purim, we're going to try to do Megillah, the Kol Kol Yaakov, but as well we have to remember to use the Gashmir, the eating and drinking, to bring out the Kedusha. The second room.